Hello, everyone, and welcome back to This Week in the Association. It's the beginning of the 2019 American Association season, and I am joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Luco from the 10th inning stretch. Kevin, we're live here in St. Paul just before Eddie Medina makes the first pitch against the Milwaukee Milkmen, making their debut in the league.
Yeah, I was worried about whether you were going to make it up. It sounded like you hit some traffic coming up from Wichita, but, well, lo and behold, you're here, I'm here, Saints are here, the Milkmen are here. Let's have a baseball party, opening night. Gotta like it.
Well, you know, traffic in Wichita is when you're delayed 9 or 10 seconds, you know, so a little different situation up here in St. Paul. Kevin, we're excited about the fact we get such an opportunity to see this new Milwaukee Milkmen team. Got to say, though, not really thrilled about the visiting uniforms at this point.
Yeah, I think it's just that new, that trend. Folks, I haven't seen them there. Tonight, at least, they're wearing the black tops with white stripes, but then a really dark charcoal gray pants. It just all just kind of blends in, just looks a little too dark.
Kind of makes you feel like they're heading into the office, by the way, that the look is out there. Well, Kevin, it's the 27th season of independent baseball. 27 seasons for you. What is this like for you entering into a season kind of just as a big fan of this league?
Well, that's depressing because that means independent baseball has been part of my life more than it hasn't been. So, yeah, thanks for adding a couple more gray hairs there, but you know, it never gets old. Each year is fun. Each year has its own story to tell. And obviously the game's fun enough where every year you come back and get excited about what's going to happen next. And it doesn't get any better than sitting here on opening night. Just everyone's got 100 games ahead of them. Everyone's got the same chance to win the championship. So I'm excited to see how the whole season unfolds.
Well, we open up here in St. Paul, Minnesota, the St. Paul Saints opening their brand new museum here, the City of Baseball, as part of the opening game ceremonies that they had here. We have not been down to visit, but we'll have some information about that for you on the show that'll come out on Tuesday. So we have a base hit there from the Milwaukee Milkmen.
First ever base hit.
Nolan Early winding up with the first single in team history. So on the first pitch he saw, as a matter of fact. So good for him out there. There's your trivia question for the future.
I was just listening when he came up to bat. They played Milkshake. So I'm sure it's going to be a long season for the Milkmen hearing all these milk-related jokes wherever they go around the league.
We got to meet some of the Milkmen staff before the game. Great guys out there. Looking forward to seeing the kind of antics and fun that they'll have going around that ballpark as the season goes along. Well, Kevin, let's talk about St. Paul a little bit here. The big story I think that we're looking at is incredible lineup, incredible defense with Joey Wong and Josh Allen up the middle. What is going to happen with the starting rotation?
That's the $64,000 question right now. As it stands, you have Eddie Medina pitching tonight, obviously. Dustin Crenshaw is your number two guy. Jake Mathis goes from a bullpen guy last year to your number three starter. But after that, George Samus hasn't played his hand. It's kind of weird going into a, well, it looks like we got a potential double play here. 4-6-3. But Samus hasn't played his hand, so either he's got somebody in the bullpen that can start. We've checked numbers. There are guys in the bullpen that have started before, but maybe there's a deal out there to be made yet. Maybe there's a guy he's going to be bringing in. So whatever it is, he's being very coy about it.
The one thing you got to like, if no matter who's out there, the starting pitching, is the fact that this defense, you return Josh Allen, you still have Joey Wong at short. Chesney Young looks like he's going to be quite a talent out there. The group is so good that former shortstop all-star Blake Schmidt moves to left field.
Yeah, it was kind of strange to see that because I know Schmidt last year played left field for Sioux City after the trade late in the year, and it wasn't his desired position, but this is the best way to get the best possible batting lineup, and Wong and Allen are also strong bats. So if you can get all three of them, then that's just a bonus.
And we have the second hit in Milwaukee Milkmen history as Jose Rosario lines a base hit up the middle. As we look across the St. Paul Saints, the other thing that I'm looking at here, you got that same deep bullpen that you had last year. We're not really sure who's going to wind up closing this club right at this moment, but you still bring back Mike Devine. You have Ken Frost, who was unscorable. You couldn't score against him for the first 35, 36 decisions that he had last season, their appearances, excuse me, that he had last season. Very deep group out there.
Correct, and I have a feeling that newcomer Todd Van Stensel will be your ninth inning guy. Just like with the last two starters, George Samus hasn't indicated exactly who's going to close yet. With Mike Devine out there, Devine saved six games last year, so you got him to also fall back on. So who knows, it could be a bullpen by committee, so we'll see how it all plays out. And you know, in this era of matchups and stats and that, it just could be an issue, just whatever the best matchup is who's going to pitch the ninth inning.
We've seen in previous years the manager, George Samus, is not afraid to use a bullpen by committee when necessary, so shouldn't be that big of a deal for him to wind up going with that. We turn over to the Winnipeg Goldeyes. Well, actually, before we go on, there are some returning players that we do want to discuss. Burt Reynolds comes back, Brady Shoemaker, as we mentioned, Joey Wong back here. They add Devin Rodriguez. A lot of veteran talent on this team that really should have an impact.
Not to mention Max Murphy, who was arguably the team MVP last year, played 98 of the 100 games, has a cannon of an outfield arm, and had a career year hitting for the Saints. 69 RBIs hitting from the leadoff or second spot of the order most of the year. Now, can you tell I just did the Saints season preview, because I'm just getting all these numbers in the top of my head. I'm usually not that sharp, so.
Well, that's opening night. We expect you to be sharper on a night like this. Let's move over to the Winnipeg Goldeyes. The big news for them is obviously the return of Romanski and Abercrombie, but they make a big move as spring training was coming to an end by adding Marcus Crescentini from Kansas City, who had a big impact on the championship team last year for the T-Bones. What do you? For me right now, I'm looking at Winnipeg and I'm thinking it's starting rotation for them as well.
Yeah, they'll have Kevin McGovern at the top is a solid arm, and Rick Forney's good at finding guys, so I think pitching will be just fine for the Goldeyes.
Manuel Boskin beats out a base hit. Nice play by Joey Wong out there, but just couldn't make the throw. So first and second and two down here in St. Paul. I think that this is going to be another deep team in terms of the bullpen area, but boy, losing Jack Charleston.
He did pitch the other night.
Okay, so hopefully the injury that the kind of comebacker off his hand isn't going to be something that debilitates him, because he set an American Association record last season for most appearances. Oh, shot down the left field line by by Adam Walker, and he's going to roll that in for a double that's going to score the first run of the game. Fans didn't like the call whatsoever, but
yeah, it was a close one down the line, but George Samus is out having his first discussion with the umpire for the season.
Nothing like arguing in the first inning of the very first game of the season there. That's a way to get things rolling off right off the bat there.
Get the introductions out of the way early.
Absolutely. The team also returns Wes Darvall, who had a phenomenal year a couple of seasons ago for this Goldeyes team. They bring in former major leaguer Willie Garcia, which I'm kind of curious about how long he'll be around, because the guy has some incredible talent and should really bring a live bat to the club out there. This team should score runs.
Yeah, that won't be a problem. Garcia was just in the majors as recently as 2017, I believe. So another good fight on Rick Forney's part. I'm sure it was had it been a tough winter for Forney, because this was 2018 was a rare off year for the Goldeyes, and I have to imagine that the guys coming back from that are going to be pretty hungry to reestablish themselves.
Shot to the wall by Cesar Valera that's going to drop in for at least two. Two runs will score on that as Valera cruises into second base, and those Milwaukee Milkmen already up 3-0 in their first game of the season against the A's for the St. Paul Saints. Boding well for them right off the bat.
We might be seeing some history. We might see the Milkmen's first win. Of course, got ways to go. Only the first, top of the first. So.
Well, don't Milkmen deliver in a four-pack right off the bat? I mean, is that how it works? A four-pack of milk bottles or whatever they're bringing out there these days?
They usually only deliver in the morning, too, so this is kind of a weird, different night call.
Let's move on to the Chicago Dogs, who the big news around there is obviously the signing of Carlos Zambrano, who's looking to return to the major leagues as a reliever. Interesting that at 39, we're going to see what kind of stuff he's still got.
And we're also going to see him DH on occasion, from what I've been told.
He had a very live bat, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't get why more pitchers didn't focus on that craft a little more, especially starting pitchers when you know you're gonna get in a bat or two every game. But yeah, Zambrano was always able to kind of help himself out with the bat. So, well, and you know, John Goose and Brown was the same thing. He DH'd on occasion too. So, pretty good depth. You got two guys in your pitching staff that can also DH.
I think the big thing that we look at for Chicago this season, last year they started out 1-14. That kind of doomed the team from the very start. An impressive job by manager Butch Hobson to keep this team playing. Because, you know, you would think after kind of a start like that, the team would kind of just give up. But he kept that team fired up, and they were one of the better teams in the second half of the season. Had outstanding pitching, outstanding fielding. Are we going to see that same kind of performance out of this team this year?
Yeah, I don't see why not. There wasn't really a ton of returnees from last year, but I think Butch Hobson's got a better feel now on what he needs to bring in as far as players that can compete in the American Association. So, yeah, if he can avoid the cold start, I can see the Chicago Dogs being a force.
On a base hit by former Gary South Shore Railcat, Garrett Copeland drives home Valera, and it's 4-0 Milwaukee here in St. Paul. We shift our focus to the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, which last year you and I believed would have a real shot at winning the championship. I think both of us even had them in the championship series, but they kind of faltered down the last couple of weeks of the season. This team right now, I think, is one of the two most complete clubs in the league.
They sure are. When I was going through team rosters and just kind of signaling guys out that were returnees that could be an impact, I just kept writing guys down for Fargo-Moorhead. And you talk about a real solid outfield with Tim Caldwell, Devin Ahart, and Brennan Metzger. We thought Ahart was going to retire after last season, but apparently as it got closer to spring, he got the itch again and is back for another season patrolling the outfield for the Redhawks. And it looks like the Saints are going to finally get out of this, but wow, the damage has been done.
See, it was that four-pack right off the bat. They delivered out there. Oh, relief one. For me, looking at Fargo, this looks very much like the Sioux City Explorers last season, but with a lot more power to this club than you saw in Sioux City. A lot of on-base guys. They're going to have speed. They're going to get good starting pitching. They're going to get, it looks like, a pretty solid bullpen. I'm not sure who's going to wind up kind of being those late-inning guys in Fargo, but this is a team that it looks about as complete as you can ask.
Yeah, you got three very solid starters with Sebastian Cassé, who was back after being signed during the season last year. Will Solomon returns again. Michael Tamburino. We'll see what Tamburino we get. Do we get the one that was dominant for Lincoln the first half of the year, or the one that was pretty average for the Redhawks? So, yeah, it looks like a pretty solid staff for the Fargo.
I think, admittedly so, from his standpoint, is that he kind of wore down as the season was going along and is hoping that he'll have kind of a rebound year for himself out there for Fargo. We move there to our Milwaukee Milkmen, and we're out here watching. We're off to a great start here tonight. Not really sure what to think of this team. I will say, Kevin, I thought because of the fact that they're not going to be able to open up in their home park for at least another 6 weeks or so, really put this team in a bad situation.
Yeah, it does. You're basically on a month-long road trip, and not sure. I guess when we talk to Van McNeil and Jim Rinelli, we should have asked them about what they're doing as far as when they play in Kokomo. I assume, what, you think they would probably be staying in a hotel?
I would assume so.
Because when you're only there for 1 month, it's not like you're going to settle into with host families or anything of that sort. So I'm sure the guys have packed lightly. That's going to be an adjustment too when they finally get into Milwaukee, getting places to stay, getting moved in. So it's going to be a very chaotic start to their season. But tell you what, top half of the first, it looks like they're handling it so far.
Yes, there are a lot of excitement going on around that club. We move to the Gary South Shore Railcats, the only team in the American Association to make the playoffs the last two seasons. You look at this, and Greg Taggart's kind of followed the same model that he always has, but he's brought back a lot of players from last season and added two AAA players in the last about 10 days that I think it looks like he's all in for this year.
Yeah, well, it's kind of strange to see him go hard into the veteran market, but you know, I think it sends a good message to your fans, too, that you're serious about competing. So, yeah, if you had a formula that could work and you add a little more power to it, it could be an interesting year for Gary. It's just, we just never can tell year by year. He finds a way to win, but it's not an imposing team roster-wise, but you got guys that buy into their system, man, and in the end it gets the job done.
We move to the South Division. We start with the American Association champion, Kansas City T-Bones. A lot of new faces for this Kansas City club. You got a lot of teams you would look at and think, well, they might be a little complacent about, you know, coming off a winning season, but because you have the new faces, I think you're able to still generate the same kind of enthusiasm because these guys don't have a title.
Right. I think the big get for Kansas City was getting Tommy Collier back. It was just unhittable pretty much all year last year. Mason Davis was a key part of the team. He suffered an injury in a preseason game, a lot like the one that Nelson Ward had for Sioux City. He went for a foul ball and his knee collided with the cement wall, so he's going to be out for a little bit, so that hurts. But they're bringing back Ryan Brett from last year. Brett was big in the playoffs for them. But after last year, I mean, you can't really doubt Joe Calfapietra's ability to acquire players, so I think the T-Bones are going to be right in the mix.
Well, the interesting thing about it is you look at 13 different guys switch during the team or during the season because of signings, moving on to Mexico, and you say, well, it wasn't the same team that started the year, so, you know, and they still wound up driving for a championship.
Yeah, it's like they needed name tags or guys just constantly coming and going, so. Are you looking? Yeah, a guy like Joe Filomeno, who was great in their bullpen last year, and there wasn't a spot for him on the team. He ended up getting released and snatched up by Fargo. Going back to what we were talking about with the Redhawks, Filomeno could be a guy that could end up closing for them.
That's great stuff out there, that's for sure. Moving on to the Cleburne Railroaders, obviously the big news down there is Josh Robertson coming down from Wichita after the club winds up suspending operations. He has built quite a club down there, a lot of great veteran talent. Amazingly, not enough room for the Palmeros, though.
No, and that was a point of contention down there. There's people that, I don't want to sound harsh about it, but they really don't get it. And they were upset about the Palmeros not being re-signed. But you got a guy like Raphael that, he was a good bat when he was in the lineup, but last year he was only healthy 31 out of 100 games. And when you got those coveted veteran spots in your roster, you can't waste it on a guy that you can't count to be in there every day.
I think the thing for him personally was the fact that Josh Robertson already had five veterans in place, that he was pretty satisfied by that point when the Palmeros decided to come back and play. And I think he was pretty clear with them about, you're going to have to earn your spot here. It was no disrespect to either one of them, but you know, he was pretty set on he had some good talent. He wasn't going to kind of let that go to go with a guy that may not be able to really help a team that he's expecting to win a championship.
And that was the running story down there with Robertson came in, they signed a lot of the former Wignuts. It was obvious that there were some fan favorites from last year that weren't going to be in the mix, so there was uproar about that, and then eventually subsided, so I think this will too.
Josh Allen grounds out to start the bottom of the first inning here. How big of an improvement do we believe Cleburne can have out of this? A team that won, I think, 33 games last year, is this a team that makes a dramatic improvement?
Oh, I believe they're capable of 55 or 60, and that may be good enough in the South to get into the playoffs because that's going to be, I think all around it's going to be a real meat grinder in the South this year. There's four or five teams that all have good reason to believe they're going to be in the playoffs.
Heading to the Sioux City Explorers, last year's top record was 71 victories. I don't think anybody's expecting them to have 71 victories this year, but I don't see much of a drop-off from last year's club.
No, there's not. They're very solid in their lineup yet. Jose Sermo, Nate Sampson, Michael Lang are all back again in Sioux City. Dylan Kelly was a good hitter behind the plate. Well, did Max Murphy get into one here?
That's gone.
Home run for Max Murphy.
Max Murphy with a home run to right center field to give the Saints their first run of the year.
He heard me pumping his tires during the top half of the inning.
Zach Westcott starting tonight for Milwaukee, a name that's familiar to American Association fans, independent baseball fans in general.
Yeah, had a little stop in Lincoln and a little stop in St. Paul, so. Kind of a tough task, though. You're pitching the first ever game for a brand new team. That's a lot of pressure for a young guy.
Yes, it is. I think the interesting thing we're going to see, what I'd like to see, is how Eric Karch performs out of moving from the closing role last season to a starter for Sioux City.
That's kind of interesting, though. And we've seen it go both ways. Sometimes it hasn't gone well. Sometimes they start and don't ever go back. It's obviously a much different mentality. You gotta be thinking you're going through a lineup three times instead of facing three batters. So we'll see how it goes for Karch.
The one guy I'm glad to see coming back is Michael Lang. I believe he was intending to retire at the end of last season, but how things worked out in the playoffs, I think, ruined his hunger to give it another shot. I'm glad to see that he's going to wind up giving it that extra shot.
Yeah, for his sake, I hope he ends it on a good one.
We move on to the Texas AirHogs. We first want to mention about Texas that Dylan Thomas is doing quite well there for the in the affiliate ball.
Yeah, he's hitting very well in the Milwaukee Brewers system, and obviously a lot of talent on the major league level with Milwaukee. So we don't know if he'll get up there or not, but it's good. It's always good when an independent guy can get into an organization and be noticed, and it's just good publicity for the league in general.
If he'd have been around for about two more weeks last season, he'd have been the MVP of this league. I think a lot of people would have agreed upon that. The thing I saw that was kind of interesting for Texas for me this year, Kevin, is the fact that I expected to see a lot of the same Chinese guys come back, at least on the active roster that I've looked at there right now. It doesn't look like that's the case.
No, there's a lot more domestic players than there was last year. I believe it was probably about a half and half mix, whereas last year it only seemed like there was maybe five, six domestics and the rest were the Chinese players. So if they did their homework and picked the right guys, I can see Texas sneaking up on some teams and making life miserable in an already tough South Division.
I think the tough thing for them is this team could actually be better but win less games than last season because of how hard that South Division is.
Yeah, it's just not going to be as exciting to watch your highlights with all Joey Zamboni and his act down there. He's going to, whether you like it or not, his call kind of added a little flair to what was going on down in Grand Prairie.
We love you, Joey, and we'll miss you for sure. We move on to Lincoln. They have Mike Blazek joins affiliate club out there, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, they just signed him with the Washington Nationals. We forgot to mention when we were going through Winnipeg, Dylan Thompson, who pitched two or three years in the American Association, was also signed by the Boston Red Sox. We're not sure if our good friend David Scrivens, who we had on the show a month ago, had his hand in that one or not. So haven't had a chance to reach out to David yet to see if that was his doing.
We'll give him credit, though, just so he gets a little pat on the back for the show.
Yes.
Looking at Lincoln, I do have to say, Kevin, it's been kind of an interesting offseason because a lot of guys who I thought were going to have a dramatic impact on this team, David Palladino was once a such example, Bobby Brown is traded away. So it's kind of interesting to see how he's built this club.
Yeah, there's still talent there. Jerome Martinez is going to be counted on as a starter. We've seen health issues with him, too, as he's gotten older. So we'll see how he holds up. Nick Tepish was a really nice signing. He was just in the majors for a couple of cups of coffee as recently as a couple of years ago. So that was a good get for the South Dogs. And also, yeah, Randolph Oldeber and the ageless Kurt Smith. So I think Lincoln's going to still be a contender. They might sneak up with some people, but like you said, it's going to be an awfully tough division.
It's 4-1 here in the top of the second as Eddie Medina strikes out Sam Dexter to begin the inning out there. We move on to Sioux Falls, jumping from the North Division down into the South. I think that apart from Cleburne, this is the most improved team in the league.
Yeah, it's probably just not the best time for them to leave the North Division. Going from in the North, I could see them contending for a playoff spot. In the South, it's going to be a little tough, but I think they're going to contend. They just today they got Ryan Flores back from the Mexican League, and Flores is expected to be their closer. Be interesting to see how Alex Bolshears bounces back after admittedly a off season last year with Winnipeg. Maybe a change of scenery will help him out. Keith Castillo comes over from the Gary South Shore. So, all right, two South starting pitchers right there. Yeah, guys that won a title with Kansas City last year, the Lay Lago in the infield and Adrian Nieto behind the plate. So, yeah, I don't know, it could be an interesting year for Sioux Falls. I think they just got to find a way. They're on a 13-game road trip to start the season. Just got to find a way to tread water in that, come back home, and make some noise.
Nolan Early with his second hit of the game, becoming the first Milwaukee Milkman player to have two hits in a ballgame. I look at this team, and the one thing that really jumped out at me, and Mike Meyer has talked a bit about this on the show that him and I do together, is that he's got seven or eight guys that are solid starting pitchers. And I think that really not only gives him a lot of depth, but gives him the ability, when he's needing a player some point or another, he's going to have the starting pitching to be able to deal.
Right, and as we're seeing throughout the league, a starting pitcher is kind of at a premium right now. So if you got seven guys that can start, yeah, you might be landing someone else, someone really well to address a different need on the team.
What I liked about that he did this season is I think you've seen over the last two or three years that power and scoring runs was the big focus of the team. He's kind of changed that. Look for better defensive club, look for better starting pitching this year, and has kind of looked to manufacture more runs. I think that just goes to show that he's understanding that sometimes you got to change your philosophy.
Yeah, at a ballpark like the Birdcage, when the wind's blowing from the west, it's easy to just feel like you just need to be a three-run, home-run team. But when that's not working, you got to have something else in your arsenal, and that's what he's looking for with the guys that he's brought in this year.
Martinez singles in the left field, moving Early to second base on the play there with one down.
Seven of the nine Milkmen have already got hits today.
Against one of the best starting pitchers in the league, too. So that's saying a lot about what they got going on here, that's for sure. Well, Kevin, it's time for us to discuss who we believe is going to wind up winning this division. So let's go out running down your top six in each division and how you're expecting those divisions to pan out.
Do we really have to go top six?
Well, if you'd like to do less, that's okay.
Well, I guess what my thoughts were was...
We're not getting the Kevin Lucco power rankings already?
No, we gotta get some games. We gotta get some games played before we can throw all the numbers in the computer and spit out those ever accurate power rankings. Okay, in the North, my thought is you're looking at Fargo winning the division. As far as your other playoff team, well, frankly, close between St. Paul and Winnipeg. If Salmons can address the pitching situation, I can see St. Paul winning it. Getting in as a wild card, and then Fargo advancing to the championship series. In the South, I think Cleburne, I think it's going to be their year. I think Robertson's got the right mix of guys. Loud foul ball. Steve Montgomery's got a solid team in Sioux City. I just see Montgomery find a way to get the division championship for Sioux City. They'll play Cleburne in the playoffs. I think Cleburne knocks them off, but then Fargo will win the championship, defeating Cleburne in a five-game series.
Okay, I am going with Fargo also winning the division, St. Paul finishing in second, with Chicago having an outstanding year but just falling short of that second playoff spot in the North Division. I also go with Cleburne and Sioux City in the South, with Sioux Falls just falling short, being competitive up until about the last week of the season before they falter. Cleburne winning against Sioux City, Fargo beating St. Paul, and Cleburne winning in five over Fargo. It will be my prediction for this season. So, sorry Cleburne and Fargo fans.
You have hereby been jinxed.
Absolutely. Let's discuss other things that are going around in independent baseball right now, Kevin. And Fort Worth back in the news.
Yes, it sounds like they've made another positive step in the direction of getting LeGrave Field restored, and the talk is they do want independent baseball there, and they want it as soon as 2020, which after seeing some of the pictures of the damage at LeGrave Field, it's going to be a daunting task. So, and now we got to find out what league. If they're going to the American Association, I don't see any teams moving, so it's going, you're going to have a expansion partner, so be interested to see how that pans out. But there's also the possibility that the Atlantic League might be looking at the Fort Worth market and getting a partner for Sugarland to kind of reduce the travel headaches of teams going down to Sugarland and playing a five-game series. Well, now you can go down there, play three in Fort Worth, three in Sugarland. So I think it's between the American Association and the Atlantic League as far as who would get a Fort Worth market if they get the Gray Field back together by 2020. It's a great market. They always drew well in Fort Worth when they were in the American Association. There was ownership issues, and when they're in the United League, it was kind of a mess. But they had a really solid fan base there, 3,000 to 4,000 a night, and it's just a market that just deserves to have baseball.
The interesting thing going on down there is I know Waco was still trying to get a club going on down there. We saw Greenville was interested in trying to get something going on a few weeks ago. And I know that Waco and a group still in the Fort Worth area has reached out to purchase that American Association membership from the Wichita Wingnuts. So we could see those two extra teams down there in the Texas area next year.
Yeah, we could almost see like just a full Texas division. So somewhere down the line, I'd still like to see that, where you just kind of get enough teams in the American Association where you get a true North and a South division, and with limited interleague, just to cut down on travel for everybody. But don't expand just for the sake of expanding. It's got to be the right fit. It never looks good for a league when you get a team come in for 1 or 2 years and they're gone. Look at when Joplin was ended up being an embarrassment. So, you know, I got faith in the commissioner. He's a solid businessman, so I think he'll do due diligence, and I think he'll have whatever they decide to expand to, they'll make the right decision.
In other independent news, we know the American Association is not the only league getting underway tonight, as the Can-Am League will start play, and the Frontier League began last weekend. So we'll be giving you some updates on those leagues as things of interest happen around the league out there. But Kevin, what's going on out there on the 10th inning stretch?
Well, I just dedicated my pregame today to sitting down and doing a St. Paul Saints preview. It's probably the first preview I've done where I've only known three of the five starters and had no idea who the closer is, but you know, I did all I could, but it's an interesting read, so you can find that on the 10thinningstretch.blogspot.com. And Rob, you got to start bragging up that revamped page you have for the American Association on Minor League Sports Report.
Absolutely. Head out there to minorleaguesportsreport.com. I have revamped. I'm not completely done with the baseball part because there's still some minor leagues out there and affiliate ball that I need to still finish up there. But if you're looking for independent news, you can get all the latest stuff out there. And I have really upped the American Association page, so you can get a lot of stuff out there. You can get detailed information from each individual team. Find where you can go and get stats and stuff like that. It's a little easier to navigate than some of those websites on other clubs out there, I gotta honestly tell you. So come out and enjoy. That's what I have to tell you.
It's always good to have a site that's kind of like the one spot for everything, instead of having to navigate from site to site to site or look stuff up on Google. I mean, anyone can go look stuff up on Google, but to have that one site where you have everything right there, that's really nice to have.
Well, that's what we're shooting for. Kevin, any final thoughts before we head out the door tonight?
Oh, well, it's just a great time of the year. Hope is there for every team in the American Association, but true Minnesota fashion, I guess we're going to go back to early April for weather the rest of the week. So, but you know what? That's only my problem till Sunday, as Monday morning I will be heading out to Las Vegas for 4 days. So anyone that wants to go on at TWITA Baseball, if you got any good gambling tips for that, please send them my way. I'd like to leave Vegas making a profit.
I want to also encourage fans to come out. We got five of the podcast shows from managers around the league that are up. We should have five more within the next couple weeks. I just got to work out the connections with them to get in place here. So come out there and enjoy and listen to what the other managers have to say from around the league and how differently they see things from the way Kevin and I put them, we'll say. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week. For Kevin Lucco, I am Rob Panier, and we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.